Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
So let's get into the Word of God today. First Samuel chapter 8. And I want to eventually, I don't really think we'll have time today. We'll see. But I want to eventually get into a message I have on temptations, tests, and trials. Temptations, tests, and trials. It's a very revelatory message, and it is a message that is very important for us to understand and to hear and to get as Christians. So I don't know if we'll be able to get into that tonight, because I do have to share something from the scripture that the Lord has given me. So let's pray. In Jesus' name, we ask you, Father God, to anoint me and these lips of clay to speak forth your word with accuracy, with excellency, and with boldness. We pray, Father God, for the spirit of wisdom and truth to encourage, to teach, to instruct, and to rebuke. Everything that the word does is a two-edged sword, Father God. Let us receive fresh manna from heaven today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we're going to look at something that pertains to what God has showed me. He's given me this in a way to help explain and teach the church. One of the things God told me about two weeks ago, I don't know when it was. It was around January 6th, maybe that was 2 weeks ago, when the whole thing with Donald Trump and the ballots and the Dominion software and the fraudulent votes, and all those things were brought about on the Senate floor on January 6th, there was, as you know, a lot of Christians praying and believing God and holding on to certain prophecies that were given from various ministries. And if the Holy Spirit allows me to, I'll address some of those. But when that all happened, and then it was, you know, turned into a mess. Everybody knows it turned into a hot mess. And then Trump came out and gave his concession speech. And I think at that time I was in Mexico. And when he gave the concession speech, I reposted. I said, hey, folks, here's the concession speech. It's over. This what you've been fighting and praying and believing for is over. Trump has conceded, and now Biden is going to be the 46th president here in a couple days. And people got really upset. They started posting things on my wall. My wife said, delete that. You know, she said, don't get into it. At least wait till the 20th before you address the church. So I have been trying to wait very patiently since then. But I've known for several months in my spirit that Biden would be the president, him and Kamala Harris. Not that I despise them in many ways, but not that I wanted that, but I've known that, and I've been, you know, kind of preparing the church to be prepared for that. And especially if you go back to watch my videos in Detroit, I told that to the church in Detroit. And then when Robert Leardon was here, we talked about that also in his sermons about what's coming upon America might not be what we've been praying for. It will be, but it won't look like what we've been expecting, the romantic revival that we've been praying for. So I tried to hold my speech, and I believe, I can't put words in Pastor Rodney's mouth, he doesn't like that, but I believe he has known very well too. If you remember, I don't know if you follow him at all, but last year he had a 10-year vision, and God told him to hold that 10-year vision. and not share it. So this last, this was a year and a half ago. So then last year in the fall winter conference where you were there, AJ, he said he felt released to share that 10-year vision. But he was very hesitant to do so. And after praying and meditating and thinking about it, the Holy Spirit told him that this 10-year vision has nothing to do with who is in office. And so part of the reason why he was hesitant to share this 10-year vision was because there was something in his heart or in the back of his mind that he knew that Trump would not win this election. And I believe that what that is, and I can't put words in his mouth, but I do, I've read his books, I know him personally, we talk personally, I do believe, and I stand in this particular opinion, that he understands more than most people in the body of Christ how far gone the deep state has taken over America and the military-industrial complex, and how even, I remember 2 years ago talking to Pastor Rodney about people in the White House in Trump's administration, and I said, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about that guy? And everyone, he was saying, no, they're two-faced, no, they're traitors, no, they're spying on him, they're leaking his information, they're rhinos, they're placed there around him. He said he is totally compromised, and this was about 2 years ago. He said he's completely compromised, and it will be a miracle if he gets anything done, because his entire cabinet around him, save a couple family members, are totally compromised. They are placed and they are put in there to leak, to hurt his administration and his execution. So I believe that that's part of the reason why Pastor Ronnie was struggling a little bit with sharing this 10-year plan and stating that you know, this is something that would happen in a perfect scenario as Trump is president. Now, when I say perfect scenario as Trump is president, because you have to understand that Trump was the pro-church president. He was the pro-Israel and the pro-Christianity and the pro-church president. If you could recall with me back 10 years ago, it was a thing in America that you couldn't say Merry Christmas. You couldn't say Merry Christmas. If somebody called you a telemarketer or customer service and you told them Merry Christmas, they would choke up, Happy Holidays. They would get fired if they were to say Merry Christmas. This was the time when they first started taking away anything that said Christ from the Starbucks cups. This was in 2004, 2007, 2008. The America had gotten so far, and we have such short memories. We're like Nemo the fish. We had got such short memories. But it was just 10, 15 years ago that America was so anti-church, anti-Christianity, that we could not even say Merry Christmas or you might get fired. If you put Christmas up in the classrooms, you might lose your job as a school teacher. That's how bad it got. And when Trump got in office, one of the first things I noticed is that when I would call customer service for Cox Cable Internet and for T-Mobile, that once again people started saying Merry Christmas again. Once again people started saying God bless you again. The whole atmosphere in this nation had changed. Now there was a singer, I think her name was Vicky Yoey. She posted a picture of Jesus with two suitcases walking into the White House. And she posted 4.5 years ago, Jesus is coming back to the White House. And as a result of that post, she got attacked. Her ministry was basically shut down. People started attacking her. And I don't mean atheists, I mean Christians attacked her, saying, what do you mean Jesus is back in the White House? He never left. Obama's a Christian, and you know, Clinton is a Christian. Christian's a Baptist. And so she was such attacked by the churches, and she had a whole year of concerts to sing. Every booking was canceled, and she found herself without a church to sing in because she said, Jesus is back in the White House. So not only has our country and our politicians and our politics gotten so co-opted and so taken over by the deep state's agenda, the Antichrist agenda, even the church, even Pentecostal megachurch pastors in Trump's administration that were his counselors have been co-opted. people that are working, the evangelical Pentecostal leaders, that their organizations being funded by George Soros, telling people at conferences that Christians should be the first people lined up to get vaccinated. We have been living under an illusion that there was still a lot of righteous in the government, and that still there's a lot of people that believe like us, even in the church leadership. That is an illusion. And we've gotten, amen, we have gotten, as a country, as a church, and as a government, we have gotten much farther than anybody had realized down the slope. We have fallen a lot farther than we have realized. And this is why I believe there was a hesitation in his spirit. And that's why, for sure, for me, because I can tell you what I think, that's why I had a hesitation in my spirit whether he would win or not. Not that he wouldn't get the votes, because that was obvious. Every time he had a rally, 20, 30,000 people would show up, and Biden would have a rally and 15 people would show up. So it wasn't that he wouldn't get the votes, but what kind of shenanigans. And matter of fact, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown had been tweeting for 8 months about how the ballot harvesting was happening, how voter fraud was being done with no, telling us to prepare for voter fraud because being done with votes with no IDs, and ballot harvesting and the mail-in vote, how that's going to be. And Trump tweeted that, and Pastor Rodney tweeted that, and talked about how this election is going to be compromised. So it's not that I thought that, or I didn't believe the prophets. It was that I was seeing what was happening. And the Bible says that how Jesus said, "How foolish are you? Even the farmers could see the sun and the wind, and they could tell you when the harvest is coming and when the harvest is not coming." He said, "How can you not see and discern the times and the seasons?" Now, I understand, and I don't know if we'll get to the prophecies thing, but let me just submit to you that we are living in a constant tension on the planet Earth. We are living in a constant tension between the will of God and the will of man. Every day we live between the tension of the will of God and the will of man on planet Earth. And so the question comes, is Biden's God's choice? Well, then I would ask you, was Trump God's choice? So if Trump was God's choice and then Biden wasn't, then how did God lose? Because the church is feeling now like God lost. And we sing about how God could do anything, nothing is impossible. Sorry, all your prayers failed, all your fasting failed, all your prophecies failed. So can God really do everything? And we have misunderstood and not understood that this earth realm is constantly between the tension of God's will and the will of man. So we find ourselves at the choosing of political leaders in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we find the will of man in tension with the will of God. And it says here that it has come to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judge over Israel. Now, the name of his firstborn was Joel, and he goes on with the names of his sons. And it says in verse 3 that his sons, watch this, walked not in his ways, but turned aside after, look at this, the circle in your Bible, lucre, bribes, and perverted judgment. This is where we have been in America over the last 50 years. Our Republican Christian leaders, Supreme Court justices, judges in America have not walked in the ways of God. Even our pastors have not walked in the ways of God. Bishop Larry Trotter in Chicago was invited to preach for a conference in Indiana. It was called Deliverance and Holy Ghost Revival, hosted by Michael and Jerry Simpson. Well, Michael and Jerry are two homosexual men that are pastoring this church, hosting the Deliverance and Miracle Revival. And Bishop Larry Schroeder has Church of the Holy Spirit in Southside Chicago. He had agreed to go preach, but when he got the flyer and he saw two guys hugging each other, he didn't know who these pastors were. When he got the flyer and saw him on it with two guys hugging each other, Pastor Jerry and whatever Simpson, he said, oh, no, no, no. He said, tell him I'm sick. So he canceled this saying he was sick, and it ended up in Charisma Magazine, Christianity Today, ended up being a big thing because they're like, how could you be sick and the conference is 3 months away from now? He's like, I have a cold. I can't come next February, you know. I mean, it was obviously why he canceled, and God bless him for doing that, amen. But you see, that's how far the church has gone, where homosexuality is readily accepted in the church, where all kinds of perversions. I mean, how many pastors, since I've been in Tulsa 5-6 months, I've heard story about pastor after pastor after pastor in St. Louis, in Oklahoma, that's had an affair, and this is in the church, the charismatic church. We have gotten so far gone in America. And our Christian politicians, full of affairs, full of adultery and scandals. Do you know there's a slush fund in D.C. just to quiet the interns that get groped and sexually harassed on Capitol Hill? There's a mega million-dollar slush fund for the Republican Party and for the Democrat Party to hush up the intern sexually harassed. This is our Christian leaders in America. Why do you call them Christian? Well, didn't you see Kamala Harris got sworn in on two Bibles today? Joe Biden got sworn in on the biggest Bible that has ever been invented since the dinosaurs. That was like a T-Rex Bible. Hallelujah. That's what the dinosaurs read. It was like this big. Those are our Christian leaders. They say they're Christian. Hillary says she's Christian. Bill says he's Christian. They speak at churches. Those are our Christian leaders. Verse 3. Here is a picture of where our government leaders have stood. And this is why most of us supported Trump, because he was not part of this. It says here, his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. I told you before how China purchased an app called Grindr. And it was an app for men to find homosexual affairs on the DL, on the low. And there was a big thing in the international courts that they had pushed China to get to sell it, because China was made this app and they were using this app so they could blackmail American politicians who were on the DL. Down low, if you don't know what DL means. In other words, married with their beautiful blonde wife and three blonde kids, and secretly they're picking up young boys on the Tinder app. Excuse me. Grindr app. Don't memorize that name. Don't go looking for it, amen. They have been, why do you think so many politicians, matter of fact, the Republican politicians, Christians, Republicans in Georgia that should have stood for Trump, Kemp and his allies in Georgia, in the state of Georgia, Christian guys and Christian women in the Republican Party, why do you think they wouldn't stand against the voter fraud and stand for Trump? Because they have took bribes. It's not been prosecuted because the prosecutors have also went after filthy lucre, have perverted judgment, and took bribes. So the ones who should prosecute it, they're sold off too. So why then did they do this? Well, if you look, you'll find that the guys who are behind Dominion Software had paid the Republican leaders in Atlanta hundreds of thousands of dollars 6 months ago to put their machines in all the districts, all the counties for voting. They were paid off. And Sidney Powell said, we have the paper trail. We have the tracks. They've been paid off hundreds of thousands of dollars 6 months before to put in the Dominion software. But where is that going to go? It's not going to go anywhere. And all the Christians thought it was going to go somewhere. God's going to do a miracle by the 16th. God's going to do a miracle before the 19th. On the last day, 3 days left, and 3 days he's in the grave. And when all things are done, and all this silly nonsense, because the church has not understood how deep the rabbit trail goes. How wicked to the core this nation is. The sons of God, believers, and the right conservative Christian party have turned aside after filthy lucre, took bribes, and perverted judgment. Verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, and they came to Samuel unto Ramah. And he said unto, and they said to Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. And watch this, verse 6. He said, but the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And this, watch what the Lord told Samuel. This is powerful. The Lord showed me this in a vision. He said, Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I sat in a jacuzzi here at Lifetime next to a Caucasian, nice, blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy with a big cross on his neck. He's a Lutheran, he told me. And I said, hey, how you doing? I said, the vote's coming up in a week or so. You voting? He said, absolutely. I said, who are you voting for? You voting for Trump? He said, no way. He said, I'm voting for Biden. And I was shocked because he's a Christian Oklahoma boy. He's a millionaire. His father owns one of the development companies here. They develop houses here. You probably know who he is because he's always there. He wears a big cross. And I was shocked. He'd rather, I mean, this born again, you know, he's a Lutheran Christian, believes in Jesus, wears a big cross, you know, boy in Oklahoma was voting for Biden. Shocked me. And how many people that you don't know voted for Biden that are Christians, not only Christians, even pastors, that get up when they have a platform and instead of saying amen, they say a woman. And we think that God's choice. God did not choose Saul. God did not choose Biden. God's choice and man's choice are always in a constant tension. God did not tell you to lie. God did not will for you to steal. God did not will for you to do wrong But it happens. Why? Because that's God's will. No, because we don't understand the earth, the Bible says, he's given unto the children of men. Do you think God put up Mao Zedong? Do you think God put up Kim Jong-il in North Korea? These are choices that were made in the realm of men on the earth. And don't forget that when Jesus was being tempted by the devil came to Jesus, he said, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, all these are mine. And I do with them whatever I please. He didn't say the kingdoms of this world were God's. They will be in the millennium. But as long as we're in this earth, Satan is ruling the global political system. And what happened was the sons of God, the Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Baptist leaders in government, in Senate, in Congress, they have been compromised through corruption, perverted judgments, lust, filthy lucre, and bribes. And so now the enemy comes in and he usurps authority. Now it's interesting. Ahab could only, Jezebel could only rule when there was an Ahab. But Ahab is interesting, we don't understand. Ahab is a Hebrew name. And what Ahab means in the Hebrew, it means and it connotates love. Ahab. It means the love. The sweetness and love and gentleness. So Jezebel capitalized on the love. The I don't want to offend anybody. Let's just all get along. Let's just walk in love. Let's not have strife. And she capitalized on that to rule through Ahab's kingdom. You see, it was also love that turned over the money changers and whipped those who were ripping people off in the church. That was also love. But we have, in America, we have this fake pseudo-Christian love that really is a demonic way to make you submit so it can continue to rule. So it says here, they didn't reject you. They didn't reject Trump. They rejected me, God said. According, verse 8, to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also to you. And we find as the vice second in command of the national health system, a Jew male dressed as a transgender woman named Rachel Levine that's going to head the whole health industry of America when just years ago, homosexuality was known worldwide to be a gender dysphobia. It's a mental health issue. And now that's what's leading the entire health system. Verse 9. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. Not the voice of God. Hearken unto their voice. Howbeit yet protest. Say, yet protest. But how does a Christian protest according to the nature of God? Sullenly. You see that verse? Do you have it up there? Protest, yet protest sullenly unto them. And show them the manner of the king that shall rule over them. I believe, and I say this prophetically, what God is doing these 4 years is he's going to hearken to the voice of the people, and he's going to show them what they want. Look here, verse 11. He said, This king will reign over you. He'll take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be the horsemen. And some of them shall run before his chariots. He will appoint them as captains over thousands, of captains over fifties. And he will set them to ear his ground, to reap his harvest, to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he'll take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and his servants. He'll take your men servants and your maid servants and your godliest of men and your asses, and he'll put them to his work. He'll take the tenth of your sheep, and you shall be his servants. And you'll cry out in that day because your king has done this, who you have chosen, and the Lord will not hear you. That's what's going to happen over these next 4 years. God is going to give America what we have reaped for 50, 60 years of Ahab spirit. Sure enough, Christians have gathered and began to pray and fast the last 3 weeks. But we have exited the political scene 50, 60 years ago. And it started in the seminaries, when the seminaries were told by these deep state figures, the military industrial complex and the deep state, they were told the church should not be in politics. And so we exited the light from the politics. And we have now reaped what we deserved. Trump was a grace to America. It was 4 years of grace, turning the tide of all the demonic things that were released in America. And yet, even pastors hated him and despised him, and pastors cursed him and Melania, God's own prophets and pastors. Not the ones you follow, but I'm telling you, 30-40% of the church in America. Even born-again Christians, I know, hate Trump. And this vote was not about necessarily they like Biden. It was the fact that they hated Trump. Because they're full of wickedness, and they hate righteousness. Even though they identify as pastors and prophets and Christians. And so now we find ourselves in a place where we're disappointed in God because we haven't understood these things. And instead we followed prophets. If I had a quarter for every prophet that said coronavirus was going to disappear by last Easter, I'd be rich. And then I posted against these famous prophets, the most famous prophets in America, the prophets that corona would disappear by Easter. And I put their picture up, and I said, this whatever prophet, most famous prophet from Kansas City, the whole movement, said it's going to end by Easter, and here is East, 2 weeks past Easter. And then other prophets messaged me. I'm not that famous about Christ, but I know some people. And other well-known prophets messaged me and said, oh, no, that's the Orthodox Easter. Not the Christian born-again Easter. It's the Orthodox Easter. Wait till May. I said, oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so we wait till May. And then those same, everyone just forgave them. And now those same prophets prophesying that Trump is going to be the 46th president. They didn't say he'll have 2 terms. They said he'll be the 46th president. And one woman gets on Kenneth Copeland's network with pink hair, and she says, every pastor and prophet that doesn't believe Trump will be the 46th president, God's going to take your anointing away and remove your ministry. And I said, well, I better shut my mouth. But then I thought to myself, wait a minute. Is that even in the nature of God? That if somehow you've missed it and misdiscerned, that God would take away your whole ministry and take away your anointing? That's not even the nature of God. It sounds more like a witch speaking to me. So we'll talk about, when the time is right, we'll see, about prophets and the prophecies. But let me show you here what God has said. Yes, Trump was always God's choice. And we could get a hold of that in the spirit realm and know that. But if we prophesy that, not understanding that we live in a constant tension between God's choice and the people's choice. Because in the end, what happens in our lives, nations, and societies will be based upon the decisions that men make, because God gave that authority in Genesis 1. We've been teaching that for decades in the charismatic church. But we've gotten past that and ignored that because we're following prophets. Amen. So, I believe that these next 4 years, we're going to see, people are going to see, like it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the vexation of this demonic leadership. And in the next 4 years, I believe God will give us a second chance. We'll talk about and examine some of the prophecies that are out there. But one of the famous ones that people held on to was Kim Clement's prophecies. Well, I was with Kim Clement in Nashville. I was with him in the flesh in North Hollywood. I was with him in Chicago when he gave several of those prophecies. And he said, number one, that there would be a very quiet man, not known for much words, and a woman that God would use to heal the nation. Those prophecies we've pushed over and ignored for the ones that we like. And so we're going to have to reexamine some of these words and really see what God is saying. And secondly, it's time for us to judge our own prophets that have sat there and said literally and deceived the church and disappointed the church. And I will submit to you one thing. None of you who know who Kim Clement is, and I love him dearly, he died directly after giving a prophecy to Trump. He walked out of Trump Tower, came down the elevators, walked out, had a brain aneurysm, and died within weeks. He was the death. He was killed in the spiritual warfare that was taking place over the soul of this nation. When he went to go anoint God's choice, he was wiped out at a young age by a freak brain aneurysm. It was a satanic attack as he was going to anoint God's chosen vessel. But even weeks and for years before that, I was with him in Chicago, 1999. He said Bush would run for office and win 2 terms. He said then we'd have our black president, first black president, and he would run and win 2 terms. Then he said there will be a trumpet, and he began to speak cryptically. He didn't say Donald Trump at that time. He said there will be a trumpet. God will blow a trumpet. There was a lot of accuracy in those words as we look past. But he said that after the election, there will be a death. I was in the meetings when he said there will be a death. And he said, then a new party will arise. He said, and a new party will arise. And he said, and a woman, God, what was despised and hated, will be used to pour healing upon the land. Is it possible that God could change the heart of Kamala Harris? Is it possible? It is possible if we pray. So it's very important that we pray. As I said before, I sat and lived under Xi Jinping, who's persecuted the church more than any other president since Mao Zedong. And we prayed for him. And we danced in service. And we shouted and we had joy, even though he was our king. Why? Because we belong to another kingdom. So we should not let what happens in this political realm determine our joy and our exuberance and our worship. Amen. But we have to understand what happens in this political earth and what happens in your life is a constant tension between God's will and man's will. And it's in that tension that we exist. Amen. There's a lot of things God would like to do, would have loved to do. God would have loved you not to eat that third donut. But you ate it. Hallelujah. So we are living in this tension. And the more that we choose the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the more that we choose God, the greater blessing we will have. We can see it on a national level, because the Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And we can even see it in our own personal lives. When we choose to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that we will avoid disaster. We will avoid problems. We'll avoid sickness and disease. We'll avoid things if we would just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I hope you got something out of this tonight. We're going to just invite you to close today. Amen. Let's stand to our feet here. And I challenge you to meditate on 1 Samuel chapter 8. Because the Lord has shown me very clearly this 18 verses, the picture of the United States of America and where we stand today. And where we have stood for decades with a compromised church. The only thing, the only hope for the world is revival. We've had revival in China, 300 million Christians under communist dictatorship. We can have revival under Biden, my friends. Amen. And God will let you, he'll let a nation suffer the consequences of their choices. And I'm not talking about the ballot box, because we didn't lose at the ballot box. We lost in our leadership in Capitol Hill. The people that we put in place and how we have exited that. Matter of fact, there are very few Pentecostal spirit-filled people in government, because we have, in the Pentecostal charismatic churches, we have thought that's not our sphere. We're, God wants us to work in the kingdom. But if you take out the light, there will be nothing but darkness. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for giving us, Father God, an understanding and a picture of what's happening in the nations, Father God, through the Word of God. And we thank you, Father God, that even though we have these people in office that are not your choice, that are wicked leaders full of devils and agendas of demonic planners, Father God, that even in the midst of that, God, we'll find that you're not limited. We will find that you're not constrained. We will find that you can pour out your spirit in, Father God, the greatest and the darkest times in this nation's history. The first and second great awakening happened in the darkest times of this nation's history. And Father God, we believe that there is another great awakening coming to this country. And we understand that it might not, it's not going to be under this captain and choice from God, but it's going to be under what the devil has propped up as his king. And in the midst of that, we'll find that the gates of hell still cannot prevail against the church and against the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we make ourselves ready to engage society, not in strife, but in solemnly protesting, pouring out the love of God. Winning bees with honey and not with vinegar. Rearranging and changing the way that we talk and dialogue in a way that could open up the doors to get the gospel, Father God, to those that would have been our enemies socially, politically. Let us see and understand that they are your lost sheep. And at this time, they don't need strife, but they need the love of God. They need the life-changing power of the Holy Ghost. Because we can't clean fish until we catch them. And Father, we thank you. We're going to catch such a harvest of fish in these next 4 years, Father God. There's going to be such righteousness established in every county and every district and every state in America that, Father God, we will see a turn in the tide after the people have felt the oppression of their choice. And we thank you, Father God, righteousness shall visit America once again before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't change that hope and belief because we know, Father God, the end of the book, that we win. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We love you and we bless you tonight in Jesus' name. I also encourage you to read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation will help you understand.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus as my Savior and my Lord and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way because He made you. And He made you for a purpose. And He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me and repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like you to contact me. And we can send you some more resources and materials that can help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path, maybe help you find some local churches there online or something, or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening, and feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.